You are a blessing to each and every one of us here at New Life. We're so grateful for you. And you are going to hear some great teachings today. But we're going to start off from a teaching on blessings by Jim Burns.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, and I'm pleased to talk with you about something that we probably don't talk enough about. How do we bring a blessing to our families? You know, Kathy and I were in a small group. We kind of raised our kids together with this small group. There were, I think, seven couples, and our kids were about second grade through, well, actually some even going into the teenage years. And we were in this group for a long time. One of the times, I was actually leading that day, and I asked this question, how many of you received a blessing from your parents? And nobody really knew what that meant, and including me in some ways. But also, there were tears. Because there were people who said, I never received that blessing, and I'm not sure I've given that blessing to my family. So let's talk about blessings and bringing honor and security to your home. The Bible talks a lot about blessing. You know, and it's really a religious word, but blessing is a beautiful word. And the way I want to describe the word blessing is, well, just give you 4 points on how to give a blessing to someone in your family. Number one is we speak the blessing. Your words have power. In fact, I was talking to somebody recently who said, my dad said, you'll never amount to anything, and you're just a no good bum. And guess what? For many years, that was a self-fulfilling prophecy. And that's the direction that he went until he had a committed conversion to Christ and changed his mindset. And it can be a change of mindset. Some of you may need that. But the point I'm saying here is that your tongue, this is in James, your tongue has the power to both bless and curse. And what I'm saying is speak blessings to your kids. Bless them whenever you possibly can. I find that blessing is affirming them. Blessing is bringing encouragement. Somebody once said, I can live 2 months on one good compliment. That's actually Mark Twain. Jesus did this. He blessed the disciples. He blessed people by speaking blessings over them. You know, I even got to a place when my kids were in college where I would send them a blessing. I would take a scripture and I would just say, hey, I wanted to send this to you today as a form of a blessing. And so again, you speak blessings to your kids, to your family, to anybody without even necessarily using the word blessing. Secondly, is you believe the blessing. So especially if you have children, your children need you to believe in them. And again, your children could be 36 years old or 40 or 50 or 8. But even with grandkids, I think it's important for us to believe the blessing. Life is hard. And truly, we need to have the power of belief. There are times when I honestly think that some parents who are blessing their kids and giving them honor and security are parents who are carrying them because, again, they're giving them that belief. Now, if you have a son who's in high school and he's 4'11", you don't believe him to be a National Basketball Association, you know, leader because he's not going to be a National Basketball Association leader. He's not, that's not what he's at 4'11", he's not going to do that. But we believe in their character. We believe in their faith. We believe in their who they are as a person. We believe that God can use them in great ways. And oftentimes when I'm talking with students, and my background is youth ministry, and I would talk to students and I would say, you know, what's got you to here, this place? You're an amazing person. They'd say, you know, it was that praying grandma who believed in me. It was that dad who said, you know what, you had a bad day, but we're going to make this better. And I believe in you, son. Those are the important things. So you speak the blessing and you believe the blessing. Thirdly, is you be the blessing, right? You're a role model. I went to a Christian college. Really, I had just become a Christian. I was not raised in a Christian home, and I was 16. I became a Christian, went to a school right after that in college, 17 and a half, I think I went to college. And I remember there was a bald-headed, nerdy missionary who was giving us chapel, which I laugh at because I now look like that missionary, I'm sure. And he looked out at the audience. He didn't say a joke. He didn't open with scripture. He just said, you're the only Jesus somebody knows. Pause. And then he said it again. You're the only Jesus somebody knows. Now, I'll be honest with you. I was doing my homework in the back, right, during that time. But I was intrigued, and so I looked up, and on the 10th time, he said it 10 times, he looked at me and he said, you're the only Jesus somebody knows. And you know what happened? It was as if God was speaking to me, because not being raised in a Christian home, having a lot of people in my life who are not Christian, I almost heard God say, through a still, small, quiet voice, you're representing Christ to a group of people that do not know him. So when they're checking in on what Christ is going to do and how Christ would care and love, they're going to check in with you. Now, that's not putting a lot of pressure on as much as it is just being that authentic person. And I found that even with my own kids, that it was important for me to understand that I had to be the role model. My wife, she was laughing one day when our little daughter Heidi was very young, because she was reading a Star Wars magazine and it was upside down. And so she couldn't read. She was too little. And I said to her, "What are you doing?" And she said, "Votions." And I said, "What?" She goes, "I'm doing votions." And I said to Kathy, who knew how to speak child language better than me, what did she say? She goes, "I think she says she's doing her devotions." Well, you know what's interesting? That's exactly the chair that Kathy does every day, her devotions. There's a cup of coffee, there's her Bible, there's a devotional, and that's what she's done all of these years. Well, guess what? Little Heidi back then was imitating. She was a role model. Becca, my middle child, she was praying one time, and we prayed with the kids every night, and there were times when they got to be a certain age, they didn't always want to pray, and we said to Becca, I think she was 14, 15, 16, something, "Becca, do you want to pray tonight?" And she said, "Okay, I'll pray." And then she said, "Dear Daddy," and then she giggled, and she goes, "I mean, dear God." And Kathy leaned over to me and said, "You know, her God looks like a bald-headed nerdy guy," not meaning that I'm replacing God, but that I'm representing, you know, faith to them, and you're representing faith to people, and you do that by being a role model. That doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. The Bible says that the man or woman of integrity walks securely. What I want to say to you is the man or woman of integrity who walks securely will have kids who walk securely, will have a spouse who walks securely, will have others around them who walk securely because of your integrity. Integrity doesn't mean perfection. It means that you're a role model, that you're living life with authenticity. And then lastly, you celebrate blessings. So that's how you do blessings. You celebrate blessings. You celebrate birthdays. In our family, every birthday is celebrated with saying three good things around a table. We have a dinner. Sometimes it's not on this, with our family growing, it's not always on the same day of their birthday, but we have a dinner. And then each person shares what we call affirmation bombardment, and that's celebrating a blessing. We give them a blessing, if you would. And so it's important to do that. We have a program called Pass It On at the ministry I'm a part of, and it starts at kindergarten. It goes through 12th grade. And so what it is it's celebrating their rites of passages. So what are their rites of passages? With a kindergartner, it's an invitation to generosity. And so we invite that kindergartner to figure out how, as a family, they can be generous. The co-writer of the book, Pass It On, with me, his name is Jeremy Lee. His son, when he was in kindergarten, actually said, "We need to feed homeless people, and then we also need to help them be warm." So Jeremy, cost him some money, spent $150, went to Walmart, bought $150 worth of blankets, and then they actually, with a ministry, passed it out in Nashville, Tennessee, where they're from. What a great learning lesson. One of those blankets was on the wall of his son. It's still there, and his son is a lot older now than being a kindergartner, right? So at 7th or 8th grade, it's teaching them healthy sexual integrity. At 18, when they're seniors, it's having a manhood ceremony or a womanhood ceremony. And so it's those kinds of things that you do that can make a difference. So we're going to speak the blessing, we're going to believe the blessing, we're going to be the blessing, and then we're going to celebrate blessings with our family. You know what? It makes a difference, and it makes a difference that can change the trajectory of your family.